to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
I want to talk to you this morning, and I believe it's going to be a great help to you. And I think God's going to wants to do something in you, not just for you, but in you. And because today I'm going to talk to you about Jesus, the physician. Everybody say Jesus. Say the physician. I want to talk to you today about it, and let me just define physician. It's, you know, one of, and this is my definition. It'd be a word that you would hear and would know, the word physical. That would be someone that's concerned about your physical being. I know that we expand in many professions, medical professions expand beyond just the physical. But let me just say that in what I'm talking about today is in the physical, that Jesus is concerned about your physical. That's what a doctor. A doctor is concerned about your physical being. And so I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to you today then about Jesus, the physician. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you this morning that you would open our understanding like you did the two on the road to Emmaus, that we might grasp and understand more than just knowledge, that wisdom and truth would come in that would set free and heal. I pray, oh God, that you would be the great physician in this house. Jesus, come in this place, Lord, and every person that is needing healing in body, soul, or spirit today, that you would be the great physician one more time. Lord, we come to you. We don't have an answer. We don't know what to do, but we just tell you that we hurt here. And Lord, you're the great physician to heal. So today, Lord, be that to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated today. Let me remind you that you are three parts. You are body, soul, and spirit. And let me ask you a question. Is Jesus concerned about your spirit? Is Jesus concerned about your soul? And you know what the amazing thing is? There are groups of people that believe for some odd reason that Jesus is really concerned about two-thirds of you, but not the other third. That is your body. I believe that Jesus is concerned about all of us. I believe he wants to heal your soul. He wants to heal your spirit, get you saved. I believe he wants to heal your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. But I believe that he wants to also heal your body. And I'll talk about that. You say, well, I want to address that today. I believe that God heals in three ways. Let me just say this real quick. Number one is I believe that he heals naturally, and medically, and miraculously. I believe God heals in three different ways. See, I believe that God heals naturally. If he didn't, the first time you cut your finger, you'd bleed to death. Come on, somebody. And everybody on Plavix and Coumadin, you bleed anyway. But if you bled, if God did not heal naturally, did not create our bodies to heal naturally, the first time you cut your finger, you wouldn't stop bleeding. You'd just keep right on bleeding. It's really a amazing way God created us that our bodies heal themselves. I believe, secondly, that he heals us medically. And I believe that God is the one that gives wisdom to the medical profession to do what they do. You know, years ago, there was some stupidity among Christians that somehow they were against doctors. Come on, how much stupid can you be? They weren't against the farmer that grew food. Come on, somebody. They ate all that. They weren't against, you know, this and that. But they got in this idea that somehow going to a doctor is a lack of faith. And that's absolutely silliness. There's many things today we don't worry about because of the wisdom God gave the medical profession. Most of us never worry about polio anymore. Most of us don't worry about tuberculosis anymore. You know why? Because God gave the medical profession the wisdom, and they discovered the wisdom on how to deal with that. Paul wrote Timothy one time advice I believe the Apostle Paul did not get from God, but he got from a doctor friend of his. He told Timothy, because of your often stomach ailments, no longer drink only water, drink a little wine. I believe he got that from a medical doctor. You'll see that in just a few minutes. Everyone here has experienced natural and medical healing. How many of you have ever had a broken bone? Let's see here. How many have ever had a broken bone? We're a beat up bunch. Look at this. We're a beat up bunch. How many of you have ever had stitches in your life? Let's see your hands. Boy, we're a broken cut up bunch of people. Okay, how many's ever had a minor surgery? Let's see, a minor surgery. How many's ever had a major surgery? All right, how many's ever had cosmetic? Oh, I'm just kidding. All right. So, but we've all experienced it. And here's the point. If you've broken a bone, had stitches, had surgery, and you've experienced natural and medical healing in your body. But how many has ever now experienced miraculous healing in your body? Look at that. Numbers of you have. And because God heals, I believe, three ways. And we're going to use one story this morning as kind of the beginning and the middle and the end to our teaching today. And it really was an eye-opener to me this week as I studied it. Go ahead and go to Mark chapter 1, if you would. This is a miraculous healing that took place. And I really enjoyed it. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing,'" everybody say that with me, "if you are willing." Now get this, because he was not doubting his ability. He heard about him, seen him, knew he could do it. Wasn't doubting his ability to heal, but he was questioning his willingness to heal. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and, see the word, everybody say, touched him. We're going to end with that one phrase, and it's amazing what that one little phrase means. I'll tell you that. "And said to him, 'I am what? I am willing, be cleansed.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed." I want to talk to you, as I said, Jesus the physician. I'm going to ask you three questions this morning, and then we're going to pray together. I believe the Lord's going to do something in people's lives. Number one is, why is Jesus a physician? Everybody say that with me. Why is Jesus a physician? You ever talk to some young people? What are you going to be when you grow up? I'm going to be a doctor. Why do you want to be a doctor? I'm going to make lots of money. Was that why you want to be a doctor? Oh, I want to be a bus driver. Why do you want to be a bus driver? So I can run over people. Oh, you run over people. Is that right? You want to do that? So you ask kids all kinds of stories, and they'll tell you why they want to be what they want to be for all kinds of different reasons. And one of the keys in life is this. Why was Jesus, why did he want to be a physician? Mark 14, it gives us a clue. And it says, wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, "Where is my guest room?" I think I may have the wrong scripture here. I absolutely have the wrong scripture. I wrote it down wrong. In fact, that's the one I said. And what it is, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. Everybody say moved. He was moved with compassion. And the reason that Jesus wanted to be a physician is because, listen, number one is he loves people. Many of the doctors you go to, many of the medical, they became doctors and nurses because they love people. I just say this, my daughter is she's starting to be a nurse. And from the time she was a little child, she always had compassion for people. And we knew that whatever field she got into, she'd do that because she had a compassion for people. And the reason Jesus became a physician was because he loves people. It's clear about it. In fact, it says it over and over that he was moved with compassion. When he saw the sick, he was moved with love because he loves people. There was some teaching a while back that said Jesus, the reason he healed was to prove that he was the Son of God. He didn't have to prove nothing. He was the Son of God, whether he ever healed a person or never healed a person. He did not heal people to prove anything. He healed people because he loved people. He was moved with compassion. If he were here today, he wouldn't be the one set off by us. He would be amongst us, in the middle of us, because he loved people. He was moved with compassion. He always was. He heals people. There's three things I want to say before we move on from this point that were teachings about healing that I think is erroneous. And let me just give you three of these. Number one, A is Jesus was not a sensationalist. He did not heal people to get everybody's attention. He didn't say, you know, one of the teachings was, well, he did healing so he could get a crowd to preach to him. Because the really important thing was the preaching. So he just did this sideshow that would bring sensationalism to his ministry so he could get a bigger crowd so he could preach what was really important to him. Absolutely false. Can I tell you? He healed people because he loved people. He was moved with compassion when he saw their sickness, when he saw the suffering. Mark 1, look what he did this many times. Look at Mark chapter 1. It says, and Jesus moved with everybody say, moved with compassion. Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Soon as he had spoken, immediately the leper left and he was cleansed. And strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And notice this. And said, don't tell anybody. Does that sound like the healing evangelists of the day? Go call CNN. Get them here real quick. Do a great interview for me. Put it on a CD. Send it around the country. Brought back to life. Heal from this. Blow it up as big as you can blow it up. Why is that? Sensationalism. Come on, somebody. He heals a leper, completely heals a leper, and says, now, don't you tell anybody. Just go away. Don't tell anybody what happened. But you know, what's funny is, read verse 45. However, he couldn't keep his mouth shut. Come on, somebody. But what I love is Jesus never did anything to be sensational. He didn't bring to draw attention to himself. He drew attention to the Father. But the truth is Jesus still heals today. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of stuff I don't want to be a part of because of the sensationalism that's put into it. But it does not stop the truth that Jesus still heals today. He's still in the business of moving with compassion. He never stopped loving us. And he loves us as much today as he did in the days he was on the earth. And he's moved with compassion. He doesn't do it. Number two is, Jesus is not a confessionalist. That is, there was a time, and I hope and thankful most of it's long gone, that you could never say you were sick. Don't confess a negative confession. And my only thing was, how can you be healed if you're not sick? Come on, somebody. If I don't have a problem, how can I ask for an answer? If I'm not sick, I mean, the silliness of the stuff that went on. I mean, people would be, their eyes would be watering down their face and snot coming out of their nose. And you would say, I don't have a cold. I'm not sick. But I see snot. I actually see snot on your face. I am not sick. I will not. And they thought that was faith. Let me tell you something. Jesus was not a confessionalist. He didn't. I believe in confessing. I believe in positive confession. I believe in that. I do. But the silliness is extreme that this stuff went into. I believe I can say I'm sick. But I can also say I believe in a healer who can heal my sickness. By his stripes, I'm healed. I don't need a healer if I'm not sick. And then the third thing is, Jesus is not a dispensationalist. When I grew up in my Baptist church. And I'll never forget my pastor. I asked him about healing one day. And he told me, Jesus did that back then. That happened back then. Same word they asked me one time. I was in a conference. And I asked the question. I said, I was in a denominational conference. I said, do you guys cast out devils today? And they said, no, we don't do that. And I said, why? He said, that was only for back then. I said, well, where did all those devils go to then? I mean, did they just went somewhere else? I said, well, where did they all go? I used to act dumb and because I was. And Jesus, so if Jesus healed people 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, he still heals people today. He's not a dispensationalist. Jesus didn't do it just for that dispensation. And then now, because, you know, we just did it back yonder to get the church started. You know, God just did all that kind of stuff to get the church started. And now how many thinks the church still needs it today? You know, so there is a need to understand he's not a dispensationalist. Because listen, it's like saying this. Well, you know, he was a shepherd back then, but he's not a shepherd today. He was the way, the truth, and life back then. But, you know, he's not the truth. And come on, somebody. Listen, if he was a healer then, he's a healer now. And if he moved with compassion, then he still moved with compassion now. So all those things are silliness. Let me just read you a few scriptures. Look at Mark 4 and 23. Or Matthew. Go to the next scripture. Matthew 4. Said, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and doing what? Healing how much? Everybody say every. Look at Matthew 8. Look at this one. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all the, everybody say all. So that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah. He took out our illnesses and bore our sicknesses. Look at Luke 4. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and did what? And healed them. Look at Luke chapter 6. It says, and he came down with them and stood in a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, and who came to hear him to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him, and he healed them what? Healed them what? All. Listen, we have no record of any person that ever came to Jesus not being healed. We don't have one record of anybody that ever came to him that was not delivered and that was not healed. Everybody that came to him. Now, some didn't even come to him. That was the amazing thing. You know, he walked in a synagogue one day and there was a woman bent over. She didn't come to him. He went to her. He went to the synagogue another day. There was a man with a withered hand. He said, come over here. The man didn't come to him. He went to him. He went into the pool of Siloam one day and stepped over about 20, 30, 40, found one man and said, you want to be healed? The man said, I can't. God, ain't got nobody throw me in the water when the angel stirs. Some fable and all that. And Jesus heals the man. Man didn't come to him. Nobody brought him to Jesus. Jesus just went to him. So there wasn't just this everybody that came. He even went to them. The blind man. He healed a blind man that didn't come to him. He went to the blind man. And the blind man didn't even know who he was. After he was healed, they said, who healed you? He said, I don't know. I don't know who he is. The Bible says Jesus found him later and says, I am the Son of God. I'm the Messiah. And the Bible says the blind men believed in him. Listen, when you try to put healing in a box, say, I got all the parameters, I got all the knowledge, I know how it works and doesn't work, you're absolutely silly. I'm going to tell you, one of the best buddies I've got is Larry Stockstill. We've been buddies for 30, 40 years. And when his daughter-in-law died, it was not because of a lack of faith on their part. Joel's wife died. When she died, he didn't die because of a lack of faith. Didn't die because they didn't pay the price to go after God for her healing. You can put any kind of little box you want to put in there, but I'm going to tell you there, let me tell you, it does not, but here's the key. Joel has never stopped praying for people and still seeing people healed. And he's on dialysis at the point of death daily. You've got to come to the place where you believe, you never let all the things discourage you from the truth of what is truth. One day God will tell us it all, and I'll explain that in just a second. But listen, if you've had a divine power to heal, let me just ask you a question. And then I know it's a strong question I'll ask you, but I want to ask you. If you had the divine power to heal, let's say that God gave you the divine power, and you went down to the children's hospital or you went up to St. Jude's, how many of the kids would you heal? How many would you heal? Okay, are you better than Jesus? You got a bigger heart than him? You got a more compassion than him? And now, listen, let me tell you. I'll deal with the elephant in the room in just a minute. Then why isn't everybody healed? I'll deal with that in just a second. But I'm telling you that it's God's will to heal. That's number two. Point number two is it his will to heal? And I'm going to tell you, I believe absolutely it is his will to heal. Mark 1 in verse 40. The leper came to him imploring, says, if you're willing, will you make me clean? And he said, we read it just a minute ago. He said, compassion, charity, and he says, I am what? I am what? I am willing. It means Jesus talking about him said, I will. Look at 2 Peter 3 and 9. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, and he should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, the word will, or slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all comes to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But will people go to hell? But is it God's will for them to go to hell? No, he's wishing, his will, his desire is that they would not. Will everybody be healed? Nope. Now listen, before we finish, is it their fault? No. Some cases, yes. Most cases, no. Now, it seems like a contradiction. Let me just throw it out there to you. I believe it's God's will. But literally the definition of will is the word desire. Everybody say desire. When you die, you leave a will, you know. And you want your kids to split up your 87 cents you left them. Come on, somebody. You want, that's your desire on how it's going to be left. You know, I don't know if you saw an article in the newspaper a little ago. There's some man in Louisiana that keeps getting the notice every year from the state of Louisiana that he has an inheritance. Did anybody read that in the newspaper? And every year he turns it down. It was from his dad. He said, my dad and I never got along. I don't want his money. Didn't want his money then. Don't want his money now. And so every year the state sends him a letter. You got such and such amount of money. How many would like to, won't you just adopt me? I'll go ahead and take that money. Life will just be great. But he turns it down every year. They write him another letter every year. Said, you know, you got this. I don't want it. My dad's money. We didn't get along then. Not going to get along that time. And so what happens in life is not everybody will receive the will as going to happen. But I believe this. I believe his desire, and in my own opinion, I'm going to tell you, I believe his desire is that, I understand that we will die one day. Taken to the extreme, healing is, oh, I'm never going to die. I'm just going to keep getting healed and healed. I understand we're going to die one day. But I believe God would rather us die of old age than of sickness. I believe our days are numbered in his book. I believe God's got a way. I understand all that. Now, but I say this. Listen, Jesus is a good parent to us. And he's a better parent than we are. He said that in Luke 11. In fact, let's just read it. He said, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? And let me just give that analogy on everything else. He's a better parent than we are. So and I understand, we don't always give our kids everything they desire or want. And there's reasoning, and they don't understand it. And so I understand there are much more in play than just a physical healing. There's all kinds of things in play, from repentance to dealing with us to forgiveness to that God. Lots of things that come into play. And so I understand you can't put the healing in a box and know all the parameters. Listen, pray according to his will. Don't start the old nonsense of every time you pray for healing, Lord, if it be thy will. You better seek God and find out his will. It's the same thing as saying that. Let me just say this way. When you lead somebody to the Lord, I told you three parts. God cares about your body, your soul, and your spirit. And we automatically think every time if somebody wants to be saved, we don't say, come here, pray with me. Okay, let's start this prayer that we're going to pray for you to be saved because you want to be saved. Let's pray. Lord, if it be thy will, save this rascal right here. Do you ever pray that way? No, our brain is, no, God wants to save them. God will save them. No ands, if, or buts. Just pray because God will save you. But when it comes to healing, physical bodies, we somehow get this if it be thy will scenario. And yet that's just a third part of our being. And I believe that God wants to heal our bodies. He cares. He's moved with compassion. So we have to understand there's a breakthrough there. And I understand we live in a fallen world. I understand that. James 5:14 says, and he really says it this way. He says, if anyone among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And what is this? And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, if, everybody say if. Could have been, could not have been. If the guy has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So sometimes there are sicknesses that are caused by sins. And so there is, he said, if, but not every time. He said, if, everybody say if. Not every time, but just if. And there was a time in John 9, they asked Jesus that when he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Disciples said, come on, I know there's sin involved here, Lord. Who did it? His parents or him? And Jesus said, nay, no sin involved in this healing case. He hadn't sinned, his parents hadn't sinned. This is for the glory of God. So don't always pin. So there. I understand we live in a fallen world, and sickness and disease are part of our fallen world. But never question his willingness to heal. Never question and get in that mode where if it be thy will. Listen, we do like the leper did. We question his willingness. We never question God's ability. I think everybody with any screws still attached to your brain would say God can heal. Everybody believe that? Anybody here believe that God cannot heal? I'm not talking about, everybody believes his ability. We do as the leper, and that is we question his willingness to heal. Lord, if you're willing to heal. He didn't question his ability. He did the same thing. If you're willing, and the Lord answered, I am willing. See, and I'm going to just be honest with you. Many of us are mad at God because we don't doubt his ability, but we're mad because he didn't do it. We get upset. We mask it in all kinds of things. You know, you can take and come to a place where you get upset at God because you never doubt his ability, but why didn't he do it? And number one is, let me tell you, there is a battle in place. Daniel 10, and you read it, says, then the angel came to Daniel and said, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand, humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard. 21 days, this is 21 days after he first uttered his first word to God. And 21 days, and look what it says. It says, the prince of kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days with Michael when he came to help me. The answer was on the way. And there's so much in the play that we have not a fathom about. When we begin to call on God, we don't understand that one of the areas there's warfare takes place. The answer to the man of God, Daniel, was held up 21 days till the answer got through to him. You say, so you have to understand, sometimes healing takes a while. There's a lot going on. So let me just say this. Because this occurred, I've been on the operating table twice in the last, few months. A couple of weeks ago, many of you didn't know, I had to go back on the operating table. And they went back up in my heart and checked me out and said, everything's good there, And I felt a lot better after they did. I think they unclogged something, how Roto-Rooter does, just unclog something somewhere. And I stopped hurting all that. Doc said he didn't see anything. I just say it right there. I feel a lot better now. And so don't question all this and that because I believe with all my heart still that God heals. His will is to heal, to do it. Now, let me help this. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, was a medical doctor. And go to the next scripture, if you would. I want you to read this. Says Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. And Luke, one of the traveling companions of the Apostle Paul, was a trained physician. And he traveled with the Apostle Paul. I believe that's where Paul wrote Timothy and said, now take a little bit of wine, not just water, for your often stomach ailments. And that's what I told you. I believe God heals naturally. God heals medically. And he's the great Apostle Paul. The great Apostle Paul didn't say, Timothy, start fasting and praying. Ask God to heal your stomach, you little weakling in faith. Why don't you get up there and get going doing something? He told him, said, take a little wine instead of just water for your often stomach ailments. He told Timothy that. I believe it was a medical thing. And so to me, it tell me that God doesn't, because the Apostle Paul would send aprons and napkins and miraculous healings would take place. And how God used that man. And yet he tells his associate, drink a little wine and not water only for your often stomach ailments. Doesn't contradict in my brain today when I have to be on the operating table and yet still believe that God can heal my body. Come on, somebody. Just a few months ago, I was up in the front building, and I remember my throat was hurting so bad that I could not swallow, and I was groping and grew, and I was praying and just asking the Lord to heal. And all of a sudden, I cried out to the Lord, and I'll never forget, I took a swallow, and it was like I can hear something fell from my throat. And all of a sudden, how many of you have something happen to you and you can't believe it? I can't believe it. I just can't believe God just healed me. Come on, somebody. And it was like, remember when Peter got delivered from prison? Remember that deal? They're going to kill him. And he went home and knocked on the door where they're having the prayer meeting for him to be delivered. And Rhoda, the little maid, because of sheer joy, ran back and didn't even open the door. The door was still locked. Peter out there banging on the door. And she goes in and tells him, He's here. He's here. God's answered our prayers. And you know what they all did, all those men and women of God? They said, he ain't here. He's in prison. We're praying for him to get out of prison. You remember that story? And she did it so long, they said, well, then it's his spirit. It's his ghost. It's his angel. It's not, it can't be Peter. Come on, somebody. So there are times when you get, so the Bible speaks about this guy named Luke, who hitched up with the apostle Paul, who was a physician. And go to the book of Luke. It says, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and minister of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, a medical doctor, I love this one, to having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, O most Theophilus. This medical doctor researched, and one translation says, we searched it diligently. And he says, having experiences, having perfect understanding of all things that started, as did the other people like Matthew and John, who were with Jesus for those 3.5 years. And Mark, many believe, is the gospel of Peter. Mark was Peter's nephew. And most people believe the gospel of Mark is none other than the gospel of Peter. That Peter was the one that gave Mark all the information and everything that took place. And but Luke now was not with Jesus. Luke wasn't with the Lord 3.5 years. But he was a medical doctor that was in and out with the apostles. And he, as any trained physician or trained person that would do, he began to study it and learn and ask and find out. And he wrote the entire gospel off of the accounts that he learned from eyewitnesses. And the thing I like to do it is because of the gospel of Luke. And then, you know, when Luke also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, and really it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It was what Jesus, and it says all that Jesus began to do and teach. And Acts is a continuation of what the Lord began in the book of Luke. He finishes it in the book of Acts, and Jesus now does it through his church. Come on, somebody. So what happens is this. He begins to, and the reason I want to say all that to say this is, I wanted to look at just a few things, then we're going to pray this morning. Because Luke, being a medical doctor, uses terms when he discusses healing that none of the other gospel writers uses. They were fishermen. They were just ordinary fishermen that didn't have a concept of these terms. But Luke, being a medical doctor, when you read the Greek in his gospel, uses terms that no other gospel writer uses, especially concerning the healing of Jesus, which to me would probably have been fascinated him probably as much as anything when he would have heard these healings. And then when he was the Apostle Paul, he saw them take place. But I want to give you a few of the terms that he uses, and then we're going to pray this morning. I believe God's going to touch many of us this morning. Number one is the first term that he uses is found in Luke 4 in the word fever. The first word he uses is the word, everybody say fever. And it's just a common, like fever, if you've got a fever. Notice what it says here. Go to the next verse. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house and Simon's mother-in-law. What do you have to be if you've got a mother-in-law? Yeah, what do you have to be if you have a mother-in-law? Married. Brother Samuel was in Portugal one time in a big arena filled with full of Catholics. And, you know, they believed that Peter was the first pope and you can't be married and all this. And I remember Brother Samuel said this. Simon had a mother-in-law. You could hear this whole coliseum. Ooh. Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high what? Now, this is a medical doctor writing this. It's a medical doctor that knows all the current, you know, medical thing. A fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Second word is this word sick. There's a second word that this medical doctor uses in his gospel, and he uses this word sick. And let me just define this to you. Let's go ahead and read it. Luke 4 and 40. And when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were what? Sick. And the word there is weak or feeble. It was also used in that day to speak of a feebleness, not only a body, but a personality. And that is that it literally was speaking of backwardness, timidity, of inability to move into life. And so when the scriptures speak of he healed them, it expands itself out. And that's why I said not only medical profession deals with the physical, but they move into all the other areas of our bodies. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is a healer, not just of one part, but of all parts. And so the Bible says he healed all those that were sick. The third one is disease. Look at Luke 6. Diseases. Go to the next scripture. He came down with them, stood on the level place, great crowd. And go to the next one. Verse 18. He came to hear him and to be healed of their what? Their diseases. And the word for diseases here is a word that goes way back. In fact, let me just say this. Not only did it deal with physical diseases, but it goes all the way back to literally it was used in the Greek language of healing of a disease of adultery. Let me just say it that way. Literally, because many people that fall into adultery, Proverbs says they destroy or they literally destroy their soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And we've dealt with numbers of issues like that through the years to where you end up many times not only, you know, hurting yourself in one area, but you hurt yourself in your mind and your will and your emotions. And it needs a healing. And all this that took place. And so the sun was setting. They would bring all these that were sick of different things. And then the fourth one was plagues. The word plagues, and it's in Luke 7. Look at this. Go next. This calling two of his disciples to him, to the Lord, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when he had come, they said, John the Baptist. I think I've got the wrong scripture again. Luke 21. Oh, in that hour, he healed many people of diseases and what? And it's the Greek word mystique. And literally, it was used of a plague was something that literally it was used of somebody that had taken a beating. It was somebody that had gotten one hit so many times by different things, like an illness that wouldn't go away or a sickness that kept reoccurring. You thought you were over it, then it came back up, and you thought you were over it, came back up, you thought you were over it. It was literally used of mental beatings, plagues, that where you just get pounded on and attacked over and over again. And listen, I like it because it's no accident when the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed, that same word is used, mystique. And that is that he took a beating so that we might be healed from our beating. Come on, somebody. He was beaten so that we might be healed from ours. And it goes into not only the list of the physical things, but demons and devils and unclean spirits he cast out. So I want the musicians to come on up right now because I want to pray this morning. So the third question is this now. That's a list of, and Dr. Luke is telling us all this, and he's amazed. But third question is this. Number three is Jesus willing to heal? And I want to leave that blank because here's what I want. When the leper, go to Mark chapter 1. When he asked Jesus, he asked him this question. It says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down, says, if you are willing. Everybody say, if you are willing. If you're, now, I'm not doubting your ability. I'm standing here just listen. But all I'm wanting to know is, will you heal somebody like me? And the Bible says, he says, if you're willing, you make me clean. Now listen to this. I want everybody to say the word me right there. Would you say me? Are you willing to heal me? Now listen to me. There's nobody in this place has any doubt, I believe, that God is able to heal. He has the ability and the power. And what happens is, now listen very carefully. Jesus healed 10 lepers one time. That's the only time we ever read about him healing a crowd. Every other time, he healed individuals. He never got up in front of a mass crowd on a boat and said, now, everybody raise your hands. I'm going to pray over all of you that got sickness. All of you going to be healed. Be healed. He never did that. You know what? Because he healed, the Bible says they brought him to him one at a time, individually. He laid his hands and he healed them. You know why? Because he's not into sensationalism where he's going to this mass prayer and heal the whole crowd. He is into people. He loves and has compassion for you. The Bible says they'd bring them to him. He could have. Is that right? He could have said, be healed, a whole row of you, the whole line of you. Be healed and we'll just speed this thing up and we'll get on to, the next town. says he wouldn't do that. They brought them to him one at a time, and he would heal them. And so he always was healing individuals, because the leper said, "Are you willing to heal me?" Now listen, listen. Jesus always healed individuals. And there's a reason. And it's like the leper. And the Lord told me many of us is sitting there just like this leper. Not doubting his ability. We just want to know whether he'll heal me. Lord, if you are willing, you could heal me. Lord, if you're willing, you could heal me. And listen, exactly where we are and subconsciously, let me tell you what that leper was saying is the same thing that we were saying. Is subconsciously we're saying, you know, only the good people get healed. You know, only the people that learned a secret, know the trick, or are good or worthy of you to heal. Lord, if you're willing, I know I'm not, I haven't been to synagogue and I'm not allowed. And I don't know, has he heard much Torah lately? I don't know. I didn't know any of that. And he's sitting there, and if you know about leprosy of that day, probably had no hands left, no fingers left, no toes left, open sores everywhere. He had to be covered. He had to scream out, unclean, unclean, with anybody came near him. He hadn't been touched in a long, long time because he's unclean. And he comes to Jesus and he says, I'm not doubting your ability. I know you can, but I want to know, are you willing? Will you heal me? I know you'll heal other people. I've heard the stories, blind men, and I heard stories about this one's daughter and that one's rulers. But are you willing to heal me? And many times in our lives, we feel we got the reason why. And, you know, John 5, we think everybody that Jesus healed was great people. Let me tell you, we think everybody that was healed, they may not have been great people. They got their act cleaned up. And when they came to Jesus, their act was cleaned up. And they were sitting there full of faith and power and belief, and they were just ready to be healed because they were worthy of their healing. Look what he said in John 5, this one guy healed. Look at this. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Then what did he say to him? Why would you say that if the guy's already cleaned his act up and going the right way? The guy had not cleaned his act up. This was one of the ones that Jesus went and found, because I would imagine he didn't think, he won't heal me. I don't know how long it'd been since he sinned before Jesus showed up and healed him of his blindness. But let's say it had been an hour. He just cheated another, you know, guy out of something, and he was sitting there in his sin. And Jesus comes and heals him. And then has come say, now, listen, don't sin anymore. Come on, somebody. This guy was not, as we would think, listen, let me just say it this way. Some people think, yeah, but those people were better. Listen, no, they were not. Let me remind you of one thing. You were not saved because you were better than the other sinners around you. You were not saved because you said, you know, I'm real better than all the most sinners. I'm pretty good. So Jesus saved. Let me tell you something about grace. Grace is for the undeserving, not the deserving. That's what makes it grace. You did not deserve for Jesus to forgive you. You did. You were just, listen, it was grace. That's why we call it grace. And you're not worthy to be healed. You're healed, listen, by the same way you were saved. You're healed by grace, not because you somehow deserve it. Mark 2 and 16, look at this. Grace is for the undeserving. The scribes and Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors and said to the disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus said, he gave them this parable. You know what? A doctor doesn't sit there and have healthy people come in the door every day. Yeah, just come by to see you, doctor. Oh, I'm feeling good. Absolutely good. All day long. All I got's healthy people coming in this door. Jesus says, a doctor is sent for the sick. He looks over and he says, you see all these Pharisees, tax collectors and all that. I just want to tell you, tax collectors is always coupled with sinners. I just put that in there. And so he said, watch this. He said, let me tell you something. He said, grace is for sick. Grace is for the sinners. Let me say it this way. Let me see if I can say it. I studied all the cases of healing in the Bible this weekend, just to look at them again afresh. Guess what I found out the common denominator of every situation that Jesus healed. Let me tell you, the common denominator of every healing that took place in Jesus. Guess what? Some would say, what's faith? And I said, no. I got the man at the pool of Siloam, he said, do you want to be healed? He said, I don't want anybody to throw me in the pool, you know. And Jesus healed him. The woman, you know, that was bent over, and the blind man didn't know who he was. You know what the common denominator of every healing was? Here it is. They were all sick. That's the common denominator of the whole shebang. They were all sick. They were sick. They were all sick. And he was moved with compassion. Let me say it this way. It's all by grace. You're saved by grace. You're healed by faith. Let me say this. You are bad enough to be healed this morning. You are rotten enough to be healed this morning. You're thrilled about that. Let me end with this. Mark 1, our story, we end with it. A leper came to him, pouring him down. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And watch this. Jesus moved, everybody say moved. Moved with compassion, stood at arm's length, reached out and you know, held his breath and breathed the other way. You know, there's a common Greek word used throughout the New Testament for the word touched. You just reach out, you touch. You reach out your hand and you touch. And then there's one word that's only used a few times. And in the Greek language, listen, it means this. Go ahead and put it up there. It means to embrace. And that's the word that's used in Mark chapter 1. Not the common word where he reached out his hand and just, that's a common word. He used the word. Imagine, this is a leper. Hadn't been touched in a long time. Even the lepers didn't touch each other. I won't go into all that because of the different leprosies and all that. And the Bible says, he came and says, Lord, I know you're able, but I don't know. Will you heal somebody like me? Are you willing to heal somebody like me? And Jesus, listen, went up there and embraced him. And I believe when he said, I'm willing, he said it right beside his ear. I am willing. Moved with compassion, hugged this leper, bag of rags. And when he let go of him, can you imagine? 10 fingers again, 10 toes, eyes that could see again. Didn't need LASIK surgery, nothing. Can you imagine skin like a baby's again? He doeth all things well. And this morning I want to ask you a question because, see, you may be here this morning and you've got every reason why. Well, I know he can, but he's willing to heal me. I want everybody to stand up in this place. We're going to sing a song that was written by a young man that was pretending to be sick and got on a national, got on Hillsong, and they recorded his song and put it out there. And a couple weeks later, he got on national TV, said, I'm a liar. I never had cancer. Got on there on the website, got on the Hillsong with an oxygen mask and an oxygen tank, telling everybody he's got cancer. Then he got on there and he said, I really didn't have cancer. He said, I had a pornography problem. I was covering up a bad pornography problem I had. And when I heard that, I said, you know, because I said, the song was so anointed. I said, you know what he didn't realize? He didn't realize he may not have been sick in body, but he was sick in soul. And the great physician heals not only the body, he heals the soul and the spirit. And the words that were used, I told you, the words that were used not only for physical illnesses, but spiritual illnesses also. And this morning, we're going to sing that song called The Healer. And I want you to do this because whenever the presence of Jesus comes in, you don't need, he's not a sensationalist. He's not going to put your picture on the front page because he healed. Listen, and he doesn't wave his hand over the crowd. Jesus will come to you individually. Moved with compassion, he puts his arms around you. It's so amazing to me how much he loved people. He would spend hours and hours then bringing them one at a time when he could have just spoke the word and they could have all been healed. He did do that at times. You know that, right? When the person asked him, the ruler said, don't even come to my house. Would you just speak the word? And so he did. And he could have spoken the word from sitting in one spot up in the mountains and healed everybody in Israel. Could have done it. But no. He had him bring them to him one at a time. Because he loved people. And this morning you may be just where that leper was. You may not doubt his ability, but you doubt his willingness to heal you. Can I tell you, you are bad enough to be healed this morning. And all the things, but you don't know what I've been doing. Well, go and sin no more after this. He's going to touch you. And he'll hug you and tell you the same. Go and heal. Go and sin no more. Come on, everybody. Just close your eyes. Bring the lights down a little bit low, would you, right now? I want you to just be able to be alone with the Lord because he's here. And I believe he told me he wants to do something in your life. We're going to do this song. As we do this song, invite the Lord in. You say, Lord, are you willing to heal me? And listen to his reply quick.
You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire. You heal all my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. And I believe you're I trust.
Lord, are you willing? I'm just an old leper. I'm just a nobody. No basis of deserving what I'm asking. But are you willing? No, you can't. But will you heal me? And I'm going to tell you, the ears of the great physician are still open. And I can see him walking down the aisles with his bag, with eyes of compassion and eyes of love and eyes of mercy. When he comes to you, listen, he already knows your illness. He knows that. And he's more than willing. We know that he's more than enough, but he's more than willing. Why? Because you deserve it. Because he loves you. He became a physician because he loved people. Didn't do it for the money. Didn't do it for the sensationalism. Didn't do it for the notoriety. Did it because he loves people. When Jesus comes to you, he comes as a doctor who loves you. Take all the time in the world. He's not hurrying to the next patient. Take all the time that's needed. Jesus, this morning we want to thank you for being our doctor. Thank you for being our physician. Thank you for taking time with us and healing us. Thank you for rushing to the next room. And thank you for that, Lord. We love you so much this morning, and we just invite you in. We thank you for your willingness to heal this morning. Thank you for your willingness to heal me. We love you with all our hearts. Everybody said a good amen today. Can you give him a great clap offering? Would you do that with me? Come on.